Today is Thursday, October 29th. What to know today about Hurricane Zeta's impact after it made landfall in Louisiana. Which country is facing a second nationwide lockdown now? And the senior administration official who went by Anonymous in an op-ed and book is now revealed. Plus, America's tech giants faced a grilling on Capitol Hill. Why a Dodgers player is now under review for celebrating his World Series win. And how the late Whitney Houston made history once again. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. As of early this morning, nearly a million people are without power in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. Zeta made landfall in southeastern Louisiana late yesterday afternoon near Cocodrie, slamming into the state with 110-mile-per-hour winds. It hit with more power than originally expected. It made landfall as a Category 2 hurricane and even came close to Category 3 status. The storm hit the New Orleans metro area with rain and strong winds, ripping apart buildings and knocking down power lines. In fact, at least one person died when he was electrocuted by a downed power line in New Orleans. Now, it's been downgraded to a tropical storm as it moved inland and through neighboring states. But potentially life-threatening conditions could continue in certain areas through tonight. Zeta is the fifth named storm to make landfall in Louisiana this year alone. As COVID-19 cases surge around the world, France is now planning a second nationwide lockdown. The BBC reports the new measures mean people are only allowed to leave their homes for essential work or medical reasons. The new measures are in response to what the French president called a second wave that could be tougher than the first, saying the country's healthcare system is at risk of being overwhelmed. The nationwide lockdown is set to start Friday and last through at least the end of November. Germany also announced a slightly less severe emergency lockdown that includes certain businesses shut down around the country. In fact, multiple countries around Europe continue to see a jump in new cases and deaths and new restrictions. And a surge of cases also continues back in the U.S. In the past 7 days, the U.S. reported a record 500,000 new infections, and no states are seeing ongoing declines. President Trump has said it's just because of more testing, and while that might be partly true, the White House testing czar said this week that's not the only reason. He points to hospitalizations rising as well. Concerns continue that hospitals around the U.S. will become overwhelmed once again, and some already are. Meanwhile, the rise in coronavirus infections around the globe, the lockdowns in Europe, and fears more restrictions are possible in the U.S. took a toll on Wall Street yesterday. U.S. stocks saw the worst day in 4 months. The Dow fell more than 900 points. The Wall Street Journal reports investors are losing confidence that an economic recovery could be coming soon. Several federal agencies put out a new warning to hospitals around the U.S. about cybercrime, telling American healthcare providers to make sure they have all their precautions in place. They warn that hackers are likely to try to strike again with ransomware. It's a type of malicious computer virus that locks up computers until a ransom is paid. And if this sounds familiar, it's because we've talked about it before. Already, multiple U.S. hospitals have been hit by these types of coordinator computer attacks, and in some cases, patients have had to be sent to other hospitals because of it. The federal government continues to investigate. So remember that 2018 op-ed in the New York Times that blasted the Trump White House? It got a lot of attention because it was said to be written by a senior Trump administration official who stayed anonymous. Later, there was a book also by Anonymous. Well, now the person behind it has come forward. It's Miles Taylor, the former chief of staff at the Department of Homeland Security. In a post on Medium, Taylor now says he chose to stay anonymous for the op-ed in an effort to get the White House to focus on what he was saying, the allegations of poor decision-making, bad leadership, erratic behavior, and more, instead of placing the focus on insulting him, the writer of it. Taylor has actually become a public and outspoken Trump critic the last few months, even before admitting this week that he wrote the op-ed in the book. He's endorsed Joe Biden for president now and says the country is less secure because of Trump's actions as president. But President Trump responded, calling Taylor a fraud, who he's never heard of. And the White House press secretary called Taylor a low-level, disgruntled former staffer who is a liar and a coward. The heads of Facebook, Twitter, and Google's parent company Alphabet were back in the hot seat, testifying before lawmakers. All three CEOs were grilled by a Senate committee yesterday over how they review and moderate content online. Of course, that's been a hot-button issue in the run-up to the election. Some lawmakers, especially Democrats, say the tech giants don't do enough to prevent hate speech, misinformation, and extremism, and they accuse Republicans of having an agenda with this hearing, holding it just days before the election. While Republicans accuse the tech giants of bias and censorship against conservatives. There were some tense exchanges over the four-hour hearing. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey probably faced the harshest questions. Some Republicans questioned why Twitter blocked users from linking to recent controversial New York Post articles with allegations against Joe Biden and his family, but did not block other things like Holocaust denials. Dorsey said the company wrongly applied its policy on hacked materials in that case, but denied Twitter was favoring any political party over the other. The purpose of the hearing was originally about a certain law that protects tech companies, ensuring they're not liable for the things users post on their platforms. Critics say it's outdated, and tech companies should, in fact, be held responsible. The tech giant seemed open to some changes, but warned of unintended consequences, such as the potential for more speech removal. To be continued. All right, we have more news ahead, but first let's take a break to thank our sponsor today, Native. I believe in having clean, natural options for what I put on my body, especially when it's part of my daily routine. And that's why I love Native. Native deodorant uses ingredients you've actually heard of, and it still works for odor protection for both men and women. In fact, I love every scent I've tried so far. Coconut and vanilla, lavender and rose, and cucumber and mint, and I'm excited to try more. Native even offers limited-time seasonal scents. Right now, you can get fall options like buttercream and French vanilla, which smells delicious, as well as blood orange and clove or rosemary and lemon zest. You can even get some scents plastic-free, made from 100% paperboard, as Native works to provide sustainable packaging for all of their products by the end of 2023. So go to nativedo.com/newsworthy or use the code newsworthy at checkout and get 20% off your first order. That's nativedo.com/newsworthy and use the promo code newsworthy at checkout for 20% off your first order. Now, back to the news. A new report says Apple is quietly stepping up its efforts in the world of search. The Financial Times says Apple is working more on developing its own search technology for iPhones, and the company may see an opportunity to become a Google competitor, especially now that the U.S. Justice Department sued Google over what it claims are anti-competitive practices. Right now, Google reportedly pays Apple billions of dollars a year to be the default search engine on Apple products. But if the government were to, say, break up Google's reach in the future, this could set up Apple to have its own search engine. Already, Apple's newest iPhone software, iOS 14, is showing its own search results when you type in the search bar on the home screen instead of Google's results. But at this point, Apple is not saying anything about this, so we really don't know yet what, if anything, this will lead to. Stay tuned. The Los Angeles Dodgers may still be celebrating the World Series win, but now one of their players is under investigation. Major League Baseball is investigating Dodgers third baseman Justin Turner. Why? Well, it started when he tested positive for COVID-19. As soon as the results came in, he was removed from the game during the seventh inning Tuesday night. But instead of staying in isolation and following the league's protocols, he was seen celebrating with his teammates as the Dodgers declared victory. He was back on the field hugging other players and taking photos with them, and at times he was not wearing a mask. The MLB says he, quote, chose to disregard the rules and he put other people at risk. In response, the league has ramped up testing among everyone who played in the World Series. Players have also had their travel back home postponed. Companies that sell spices are seeing a huge uptick in sales during this pandemic. That's likely because more and more people are cooking at home. For example, McCormick, which sells spices and herbs, saw sales spike 35% over the summer, and even smaller companies are seeing a surge too. For example, Spiceology, which is in Washington, says consumer sales are up 500%. Experts say there's a lot of younger or first-time cooks who are stocking up on seasonings for the first time, and a lot of people who have turned to cooking to de-stress this year. That said, even though consumer sales are on the rise, spice companies have taken a hit elsewhere. They say sales to restaurants, for example, have slumped. And that's because people are not eating out as much. Harley Davidson has unveiled its newest ride, but it's not a motorcycle. It's actually an electric bicycle. The company says it's the first line of products from its new e-bike division and brand called Serial One Cycle Company. The newest e-bike should be available in spring of next year. It has a pretty modern look with fat white tires, a thin black frame, a leather seat, and light-up logos. No word yet, though, on how much it'll cost, but Engadget reports it'll probably be a few thousand dollars or so. Pre-orders could start as early as next month. To be clear, Harley-Davidson is still making motorcycles, which of course it's famous for, but the company says it also wants to tap into the e-bike market since it expects that industry to see huge growth over the next few years. The late singer Whitney Houston has made history once again. She is now the first Black artist to have 3 Diamond-certified albums. That's an award reserved for top-selling records. It used to mean the album had sold more than 10 million copies, but now it takes into account digital streaming as well. It was just announced this week that Houston's 1987 album called Whitney was the 3rd to reach that Diamond status. The first 2 were her debut album from 1985 and the Bodyguard soundtrack. And by the way, Forbes reports Houston is also expected to get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame next week. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Thing to Know Thursday. And today's Thing to Know is all about daylight saving time, and the real reason we'll be turning our clocks back this Sunday. But first, a quick note that we want to give you the option of getting an ad-free version of The Newsworthy right in your preferred podcast app. The new benefit will be added to the Newsworthy Insider membership starting next week. The show will be the exact same, except no sponsors. Of course, if you just want to sign up to support the work we do here at The Newsworthy and still want to listen to this public version of the show so you can hear who we're partnering with, fantastic. We love that. It is completely up to you. Either way, only insiders will have the option to listen to the ad-free version. And if you sign up to become an insider by this Saturday, you'll also get the Newsworthy coffee tumbler and a thank you note from me sent to your door. After this month, though, we will no longer be sending coffee tumblers, so sign up now to get that bonus benefit. Just find the link in today's episode notes in your podcast app. It takes just a couple of clicks, literally a few seconds, to learn more and become an insider. You can also go to thenewsworthy.com/insider. That's thenewsworthy.com/insider. A huge thanks to all of our insiders, current and future, for your support of the show. All right, so now back to today's Thing to Know. So first, a reminder. Daylight saving time ends this Sunday, November 1st at 2 a.m. Yes, it's that time of year when clocks fall back and we get an extra hour of sleep. But it also means it'll get darker earlier in the evening. So why do we even have daylight saving time in the first place? It's actually a myth that it was all about giving farmers extra time in the sun, but it was still meant as a way to reduce electricity usage and make better use of the day's light, moving an hour of daylight from the morning to the evening instead. So for about 8 months out of the year, the U.S. and dozens of other countries move the clocks forward by 1 hour. But this Sunday, November 1st, daylight saving time ends, and we go back to standard time. In the U.S., only Hawaii, most of Arizona, and U.S. territories like Puerto Rico do not observe daylight saving time. Several other states have taken steps to either make daylight saving time permanent or get rid of the time change completely, but those changes would need federal approval first. And that is your Thing to Know today. All right, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more news to know for Friday and the weekend. Until then, have a great day.